believe God and you accept God. But when you think you're just going to trump in and start talking about God and just cause you can quote some scriptures, that's not going to work. Spirit works with spirit, and flesh works with the flesh. And we're going to know that. They followed Jesus. You know, that's how we know they were spiritual men, because they followed Jesus. You know, that's how God could reveal knowledge of his church to Peter. You know, they accepted Jesus as their Lord, and they accepted God as their Father. You know, it's very simple. We have people claiming to be Christians, and they're teaching and preaching a social and an intellectual gospel. You know, it has not been given to them by God. They're preaching a sociable and an intellectual gospel. The word of God and the true gospel of God has not been given to them by God. God didn't reveal his knowledge, his words to them. So we can see why there's so much ignorance, sin, immoral values. You know, I almost get hung up on that word. There's so much immorality going on. You know, so much crime, corruption is in the church world today. And I'm not talking about out there in the world. I'm talking about in the church world. All this stuff is going on today because we have false teachers and false preachers. And when we have false teachers and false preachers, we're getting a false gospel. And the people can't grow straight and can't grow right because they're not getting the proper nourishment from the word of God. You know, if the preachers and the teachers of the gospel are just normal, then normal men and women, and God is not talking with them. So they're false teachers and preachers. We that are true believers can tell them. We can tell who they are. The Bible said that we can tell them and we can know them by their fruit. If they only have hatred, evil thinking, evil works going on, wrong attitudes, the lack of godly morals, and if they don't show love to everybody, then we can know who these people are. We know them by their fruits. If they're always being wicked and doing wicked things and evil things, we can tell them, and we know that they're not of God. God has not spoken to them. God has not given them any wisdom and knowledge from him. So, saints of God, we're going to have to remember what God is doing for the church, that we are part of an unstoppable army for the Lord. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we are really and truly unstoppable. So we'll pick up on this note when we come back on the next session. We'll continue. God bless.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. Born in a manger, but on a tree,
we died to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast. featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We'll be talking about a walk through the Word of Wisdom, part two, and we're going to look at the 24th chapter today. So because there are five areas I want to deal with, it's too much to stand and read, so you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. But if you have your pen and paper, I'd like you to jot down the areas of concern that we're going to deal with in this 24th chapter of Proverbs. First thing that I want you to write down is the perspective of success. The perspective of success. And there are four verses that deal with this, and we're going to look into these verses today. Then skip down a little bit, save some room for notes, and write down prudent building. Prudent building. Skip down a little bit and write pity for the needy. Pity for the needy. Skip down a little more and write proper judgment. Proper judgment. And then lastly, poverty through slothfulness. Poverty through slothfulness. Well, when the writer deals with the perspective of success, look at verse 1 and 2 to begin and notice what he says. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. I want you to look at verse 19 and 20, because we're still dealing with the perspective of success. It says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And my brothers and sisters, one of the words that we have from this writer who gives us this kind of wisdom, helps us to put into proper perspective what real success is and what we should desire to be properly successful according to the Word of God. One of the things that he looks at, and we will visit in this text, is that he tells us to be not envious against evil men. Be not envious against evil men. You know, in this world, evil has been projected as something of a status quo, something to be desired. Evil, not necessarily meaning the same intent of directional harm and ravishing, etc., but evil in the sense of it not being done according to the word, the will, and the way of God. Anything that is not done according to God's word, his will, and his way is considered evil. And so evil may be doing it the way that you think it ought to be done and doing it with your own selfish interest and not of God's. And so God views that as evil. The word is filled with ways and actions and means of men in doing things their way versus God's way, and God saw it as evil. So it says, be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. You know the old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. There are some people who are just far more evil than you'll ever be. And sometimes we want to get with folk just to learn some of the things that they do, learn some of their practices, learn some of their principles, learn how to, you know, strategically, you know, set off things and do things, et cetera, et cetera. But what you need to know is if anybody is not walking or living according to the Word of God, and they seem to be successful in earthly mammon or material things, you are not to be envious of them, nor should you desire to connect with them. You see, sometimes you want to get with folk just for what they have, but in getting with them for what they have connects you with the way they got it. And too many times we don't understand when we do get with folk who've gotten gain evilly, that all that they have gotten is still connected to them and the judgment that shall come upon them. So even if you partake of that evil, you are also going to be judged of it. Because the Word says, don't even desire to connect with them. Don't desire to get with them. If they got it in an evil way, then you've got to know ain't no blessings on it like that. And if you connect with them, sooner or later you will be pulled into the practices of the evil to continue to get what you've been getting. Because one thing about evil folk is this reality. They're not going to let you ride long for nothing. They may make you think that you're getting in for free. They may make you think that you don't have to pay anything, but truly know that you're going to have a great cost and a price, because the reason they even let you in is because they saw some potential to use you for evil for their gain. That's how drug addicts get folk hooked on drugs. They don't make you buy the first little taste. They say, try this. This is some good stuff. And it's good. And you know, they make it good and sound good and look good. And so because of all of those influences, you try it. And for the first time or two, they may supply you. But when they know that they've got you right where they want you, then they start telling you, you know this ain't for free, don't you? Y'all getting quiet on me here today. However you look at it, in whatever arena you look at it at, you're going to have to realize that you get nothing in this life for free. Amen. And too many of us are looking for a free ride, looking for free stuff. You've got to realize if you want anything and the Word's going to deal with that, you're going to have to work for it. And it's sweeter and it's better when you work for it and earn it yourself, because there is a reward that is connected with the Word underneath the skin that gives you a certain joy in knowing these hands, this mind, and all of this has gotten me what I have by the grace of God. You've done your part. So listen at this again. I want you to see something else. Verse 2 says, for their heart studieth destruction. In other words, they plan, they plot. They're always looking conceivably to do something different and or worse to get more gain. They study, which means they look at other evil folk and say, well, now, if they would have done that a little different, they could have gotten a little better profit. I'm going to do it this way. They look at how they could take it to another level. Don't you think evil is not plotted and planned and then performed? Because it is. Look again at what the Word says. It says, and their lips talk of mischief or foolishness. They plot and plan, and then all they talk about is foolish stuff. Stuff that is unlike God. So he says in the Word, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. But look again, if you will, at verse 19 and 20. And it says, now fret. Don't worry yourself because of evil men. You see, first we might start off trying to be like them. But then when we come to the reality that we can't be and we aren't going to be like them, sometimes we start worrying about them. But the Word says, fret not thyself. Don't worry about them. It says, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Don't be envious at the wicked either. Verse 20 says, why? For there shall be no reward to the evil man. Now, this reward is talking about in the end. This is talking about when it's all said and done. At the end of the day, the evil, wicked man will not be rewarded for his evil doings. It may appear as if he's prospering. Psalm 73 tells you that the psalmist got upset. He got angry. He became discouraged at how the wicked were prospering. He's like, man, I get up, go to work hard every day, do what I'm supposed to do, pay my tithes, live right, love the Lord, treat everybody right. And it seems like the more I do, it seems like the less I get. But then I look at these drug addicts and I look at these, you know, extortioners, and I look at all these other folk who are prospering the way that they're doing evil. He says, my foot almost well nigh slipped. I almost walked away from God until I came to church. And heard the preacher tell me about the end of the wicked folk. And see, my brothers and sisters, they may think they're prospering, and when you look at them with those fast lives and those, you know, bling, 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 bling things going on to the degree that that's their light shining in the world, many of them don't. You don't really get to see, oh, drug addicts and pimps and pushers. You don't get to see, oh. You know, when you see an old school pimp today, you like, Jesus? He must not have been a good one. All the good ones died, you know, because they're out there bad. Yeah. You look at them, they're all tough and rubbing all that. Yeah, boom. They out. They ain't here long. They sign strong because they ain't here long, because they're doing wrong, and they don't have any kind of loyalty to anybody but themselves, and they don't understand that the people with them are trying to take their place. That's right. And as soon as they see an opportunity, they are gone. That's right. And so this world is not a way that will prosper, and in the end, they're going to see they have no reward for that kind of lifestyle.
That's right.
Listen at this word again. Verse 20 says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall, somebody say shall be put out. That means that the judge is going to say at one day in time, you've been wicked too much, let me put your candle out. Put your light out. And he can do it, and he can allow it to be done when he gets ready. And the more evil, listen at this, the greater the judgment. But know this, that whether it's long or short in terms of lifespan here, there is not going to be a reward at the end of that life. Nothing but misery and destruction. So that's what's in the perspective of success from the evil point of view, from those who get it and don't care how they get it. For those who do wrong and undermine and step on folk to get it. For those who go against the word of God to prosper in a short time, and a time that's going to bring back more destruction than it has ever brought pleasure. So now that we've talked about the perspective of success, let's look at prudent building in verse 3 and 4. The word says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Verse 4, it says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Talking about prudent building. Well, it says here, through wisdom. So first of all, if you're going to build, the Bible says, count up the cost. If you're going to go to war, count up the cost. Why is this important? Because what you need to know is sometimes your dreams don't match your dollars. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes your dreams are way up there and your dollars are way down there. And a wise person will get their dollars aligned with their dreams. And see, what some folk must understand, sometime if you dream right, you can dream in 3D color. You can dream in stages, which means if you've got enough wisdom, you need to know that the house you build starting off in life is not the house you have to end up at the end of life. Sometimes you have to take steps. This is the first of my dream houses because I want to get out of an apartment. I want to get out of renting from somebody else. So it may be a garden house right now, but later I'll have a garden that's so big that my mansion will preview the garden as a spectacle. I mean, you got to know that you got to start where you are and build to where you want to be. You can't start off building no house like mom and daddy who's been working 25, 30 years. And you want to just, you know, unless you have been fortunate and your wisdom and work has brought you to that place. But the average people don't start off like that. And so you've got to start where you are. Be wise enough to know, I want to pay a note that I can afford and enjoy my house at the same time. I don't want to get a note that causes me to have to work three jobs and I'm never home at the new house I built to be able to enjoy. Maybe I don't need a five-bedroom to start off. Maybe I start off with a two. And if I need to do this or do that or whatever the case is, I can do that. But too many of us put our dreams unrealistically where our dollars cannot afford. So the word starts off by saying, through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding, it is established. Now, again, this unestablished is connected again with what I've said. You've got to know how much you can afford. Yes. It is established. How many folk have gotten big houses, couldn't afford them, and had to find out later they had to foreclose on them because they couldn't afford the note. They started off entirely too big, and it couldn't be established because they couldn't continue in that vein. They kept robbing Peter to pay Paul. When you got to rob anybody to pay anybody, you're in a bad place. And wisdom say, let's get out of this place before we enlarge any further. And so your house cannot be established. Many times it will be taken from you because you didn't operate in wisdom and knowledge in not only building it, but recognizing the cost. You see, what you got to understand is if you got a big house, you're going to have a big electric bill. Got a big house, you're going to have big maintenance bills. You know, if you got a decent lawn, if you don't cut grass and do flowers and plants, you're going to have to pay somebody to do that to keep it looking like somebody lived there. If you decide you want to swim and don't want to go to the local pool and you put in the pool, it costs to maintain the pool. You try to maintain, don't know nothing about it, burn your eyes out with too much chlorine and all the rest of that stuff. You get in black, get out white. You know, you don't understand. Look at what the verse. I'm just trying to help you. Verse 3 says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. But look at verse 4. It says, and by knowledge, somebody say knowledge, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, here's what else people of wisdom and knowledge understand. When you build a house, and depending on the stage that you're building, you must recognize that when you build it, that it is an extension of your dream, your desire. So what you need to realize is, what is priority for you? It don't make sense to have a $300,000 house with $3,000 worth of furniture in it. I ain't trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real. You can see that just don't go. Not for a whole house of furniture, $3,000. I don't care where you bought it from. It don't go. Look at what the word says, because I want you to see what the word is saying. If you get mad, you just get mad with the word. And by knowledge shall the chambers, which means all of the rooms and areas, be filled with all what? Precious and pleasant riches. You ought to be able to walk from room to room. And listen at this. You don't fill it with stuff that ain't worth being filled with. If you can't get what you want and it don't go with the house, just wait till you can get what you can get. Okay.
Listen at this. It's better to put what's right in there than to just fill it with stuff just to take up space. When you do feel it, it's going to be precious. And it's going to be pleasant to look at. See, you got problems if you worry about folk coming in your house. And I wouldn't invite nobody in my house going to come there looking at the stuff I got in my house and don't mean me no good. You don't need to come up in my house. I ain't got to answer nobody. If I got 3-4 rooms unfilled yet, it's because I haven't found what I want in there yet, or I can't afford what I want there yet. But in any case, you won't know nothing about it. You need to keep folk out of your house that don't mean you no good. You ain't got to buy junk to put in there just to have them to say, it's time for your house blessing. Your house woman, you've been in there 3 weeks. Well, have you contributed worthily to a worthy cause? I don't need no toaster, baby. I need some money. You won't come look up in here and see it takes. I'm going to leave that alone. Listen at this. Again, and by knowledge shall the chambers, plural, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You build a house and you build it right. But then by the same token, you fill the house and you fill it right. It ought to be your haven here. It ought to be your sanctuary from the world. It ought to be your place of retreat. And nothing is worse than coming home and saying, Lord, where else can I go? Because you get home and home depresses you when you look around. But I dare you to fill it with precious things and pleasant riches. And you'll make a beaten path to home. You can't wait to get off. You can't wait to end this. Am I talking to anybody up in here today? And then you'll have that feeling, there's no place like home. But I do need to throw this in parenthetically, that all of that can't be there if the heart is not there. And that was for free. That wasn't in the text. That's just something. All right, let's move on from prudent building to pity for the needy. Verses 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, talking about God, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? Now this is dealing with more social justice and of that arena, those persons who are in power, in place, to be able to help someone else who is of lower degree, who is without the finances or the means to be able to properly represent themselves. They are many times set up and they are many times used as scapegoats for the wealthy and for the wicked in high places. And yet sometime God will have righteous people in the place who could save that poor person, who could deliver that poor person. But because they don't want to get involved, they don't want to get their hands dirty, they don't want to be the mouthpiece for God. The record is this, just like you won't represent that poor person who does not have the position, who does not have the place, who does not have the possessions to make the rich and the wealthy and the wicked pay attention to them like you do, God is going to judge you. God sees where you are. God knows where he has placed you. Your mouth could be the mouth that delivers someone from a sentence of death or destruction, but you wouldn't open your mouth because you didn't want to be looked upon downwardly by the wicked and the wealthy. God is saying the one who judges your soul will surely see this and bring this back up again, and that judgment that was on that man will be upon your head as well. You see, my brothers and sisters, we who are blessed and we who have been given positions of honor and positions of esteem are there for a purpose. You remember the story of Esther when she again married the king, and she was a Jew but did not go as a Jew. And when the enemy of the Jews tried to set them up, her uncle Mordecai came and said to her, do you think if all Jews are destroyed that you will be spared? He wanted to make her clear, just because you live in the palace don't mean that you are going to escape the law. Once this thing becomes law and you are discovered that you are a Jew, you will die the death of all of the poor Jews who could not speak to the king. You've got a right to speak to the king as the king's wife, as the queen. And even though she went in at an inopportune time, she took her chances and said, if I perish, let me perish. I am going to see the king, because her cousin or uncle had already made clear that you are put in the kingdom for such a time as this. And so what am I saying to you? I'm saying to those of you who've been put in position to see the evil and do something about the evil, for those who are less fortunate and those who are poor and those who are picked on and those who are done wrong,